Hey, all you nerds out there, are you looking for more wrestling content or podcasts? Then go on over to Facebook, Spotify, iTunes, Twitter, and SoundCloud, and check out NXT and We with PJ and Brett. These fellow nerds review every single NXT episode and also have their very own wrestling interview series, among other fun stuff. So go check out NXT and We today with PJ and Brett. Also, A-Rock Designs. I want to take a minute to give a quick shout out to A-Rock Designs. That is spelled A-R-O-C-K-K Designs. A-Rock Designs is ran by Ashley Rodriguez. She makes all those cool wrestling cups you see floating around. So if you want to get your hands on any custom merchandise, hit up Ashley Rodriguez at A-Rock Designs. If you can think it, she can make it. Last but not least, do you love wrestling and do you want to talk more about wrestling? Then head on over to Wrestling Review Society on Facebook. WRS is ran by my good friend Kevin Rodriguez. Kevin interviews your fave pro wrestlers every week and has the most amazing free, that's right, free giveaway. All you have to do is join Wrestling Review Society on Facebook and you could be the next big winner. This week's episode is brought to you by Design by Dunbar. If you need a logo design, flyers, e-commerce, website, or anything at all, go check out Designs by Dunbar at www.facebook.com/designbydunbar. What is up, nerds, and welcome to episode 36 of What's Up Wrestling, a podcast by nerds of wrestling. I am your host, Justin Del Rio, and my guest at this very time is Big Bacon, Brad Hollister.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Big Bacon, Brad Hollister, and you are listening to the Nerds of Wrestling podcast.
Big Bacon, man, what's going on? How you doing today?
I'm doing fine, man. I mean, I've obviously had better days, kind of got a couple teeth ripped out this morning, but other than that, you know, I think I'm doing fine.
Yeah, and you told me you were doing BJJ, right? Correct?
Oh, yes, that's, I'm starting in that. I'm kind of keeping that close to the vest, but yeah, just starting to roll around a little bit, see if I enjoy it as much as I enjoyed amateur wrestling growing up.
Oh, my bad if you didn't want anybody to know about that. Sorry.
No, it's not good, man.
What else have you been up to during this whole pandemic?
Honestly, at first, just getting fat, and I was really liking that for a while. And then I weighed myself, and I was like, yeah, I gotta stop getting fat. Like, this gotta cool itself down. So I dropped some poundage recently, so I've just been... Honestly, the past maybe 3 weeks of this have just been nonstop working out and eating right and hopefully gearing up for the world to open back up.
Yeah, dude, don't worry. I don't think you're the only person who's gotten fat during this whole pandemic. I for sure have.
I'm not hating it either. That's the thing. Like, a lot of people are at home miserable right now, and they're like, oh, I just want to go everywhere. Like, I don't give a shit, bro. Like, I don't have to go anywhere. As long as I can just, like, send Domino's and Chinese food here... Like, I'm okay with that. But then, like I said, I stepped on the scale and I was just like, I cannot be okay with this anymore.
No, dude, I 100% get that. You know, as long as I can get food, you know, brought to me, I'm good. But I honestly do, you know, miss going to the mall. I miss going to the movies. You know me, man. I miss wrestling shows, bro. I need to go to a wrestling.
What pissed me off is everyone was like, oh, this is like Nazi Germany. And I'm like, in Nazi Germany, you couldn't order Domino's to your house. What the fuck are you talking about? And that's like, stupid things like that. Like, I think, honestly, this whole pandemic has made me hate the internet so much more. That's why I made, I plugged my mic by accident. We good? You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Alright. So, that's the reason I started that whole Patreon group and the, for the What Sizzle and Sizzle Squad. Because I have not enjoyed the internet this whole time. Like, everyone's just complaining either... for going outside, against going outside, like, it's just a very toxic environment lately. So that was, like, one of the biggest reasons I made that group. Like, my whole life, dude, I've just been trying to entertain people, whether that's been, like, even as an amateur wrestler, a sport that's based off of, like, respect and, you know, rather be seen, not heard. I was like, we are going to be the loudest team. I'm going to be the loudest guy. Like, I always just try to entertain everyone. Like a little kid, I was always like trying to be the center of attention. So like with this whole group, I figured, all right, it'll get me away from the toxic. I can't even say it with my tooth out. it'll get me away from the toxic internet. There we go. And it will just like kind of put me in a group with people that like I respect, I like, and we kind of have been having great content with each other in that group so far. So, I mean, overall, I think that has been the most positive experience of this whole thing, is starting the What's Sizzling Patreon and kind of just getting it going from there. We've been doing awesome stuff. You're a member of it. I know you've been digging the stuff we've been up to.
Doing. Yeah, I've been keeping up with it. I love the What's Sizzling. I love your group, man. I love, you know, your podcast. You're killing it, man. And I love how you started a Patreon, and you know, it seems like it's growing pretty quick.
Yeah, man, and that's the thing too. Like, I always try to be very driven, very goal oriented, but I am a terrible starter. Right? Like, I have so much fear and anxiety of something failing, sometimes I won't even start it. So with, like, this thing, like, my buddy Matt had this idea for the longest time, and every time I was just like, what if no one signs up? We're gonna look stupid. What if no one signs up? We'll look like morons. And eventually I was just like, you know what? It's the perfect time, because he was thinking about this before this whole shit, you know, hit the fan. So when it came to now, I was just like, all right, this is the perfect time. Everyone's stuck at home. I'm like, let's not overcharge people, because sometimes people are, they're in a tough spot. So we're only doing it for $3. So you get to see, like, every wrestling pay-per-view every month. You get to see classic wrestling reviews, movie reviews. Like, we're just trying to throw out as much content out there for as cheap as possible. We are literally just paying for our Zoom account with the subscription right now, because Zoom ain't cheap, ladies and gentlemen.
I tried to use Zoom for a few, you know, conference calls with my friends who do some podcasts, and it's like half hour limit for free. I'm like, and it's like $40, $20 for like an hour. I was like, yeah, no, I'll skip the Skype. I'll stick to Skype.
So it's like $20 for a basic plan, and then $40 additional to upgrade it. So we're paying like $60 a month just on Zoom, but we're getting everything covered with the Patreon, so it's working out so far. So hopefully we could just keep on growing it and just keep on being able to make a couple bucks, because like I said, I could have went out there and for everything we're giving out, I could fucking charge $5-$10, and I was just like, no, let's not do that. It's a crappy time for a lot of people. Let's just keep it at $3. I'm like, I think $3 is a good selling point. And then that way, in my head, the math was, if we get at least 20 people, that'll pay for the Zoom account all month. So luckily, we're over 20, but we can, you know, we always want more.
Yeah, it's going to grow quick. And I love how you said, you know, it's like at the perfect time, you know, no one's doing anything really. People are bored. So, you know, you really started this. And it, like I said, it's really seemed to be kicking off. That was the same mindset I had, bro, when, you know, I wasn't working, I was unemployed, I was just staying home, and I'm like, I'm not doing anything, so let me just do podcasts. And you've seen my content, bro, I've been cranking it. I think I talked to at least 50 wrestlers in the past month.
No, and dude, and that's the thing too, like, when I started mine, that was another thing, I was very, like, fearful of starting. So, and like, I've seen, like, with you, like, you've just kept the roll on. So, like, once you get that starting point out, once you get the original, like, couple weeks or so out of the way, it just becomes like a formula. You're like, all right, I gotta do this and this, I got these questions, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just becomes a lot easier the more you do it. And that's why I think this group is so cool, because, like, I feel like I got good at the podcasting thing, but, like, I wasn't hungry to get better at it, where, like, with this movie review stuff, with these match review stuff, it's new to me again, so it's, like, that fresh feeling of, like, oh, okay, let me try to get good at this as quick as possible, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, don't get me wrong, bro, I get really nervous sometimes doing my podcast, you know? I'll tell you right now, bro, I had Izzy on my podcast, and I was nervous as hell interviewing that kid, you know?
Ooh.
And Izzy.
No idea.
You don't know Izzy, WWE, NXT?
Nope.
Oh, wow, all right.
Is he a wrestler?
No. It's like a super fan.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Okay, wow, that's crazy. I know. Awkward moment of silence right there. I had Izzy, but, you know, and some other big names.
The only one I know is the Undertaker guy, the guy with the red backwards hat.
Okay.
And then fucking when Lesnar came back, that dude. Because that's one ones that. Oh, and the Miz girl. Come on, can't forget the Miz
Yeah,
girl.
of course. You know the angry Miz
kid. I didn't know NXT had a super fan.
And you know, I'm gonna say this really quick, bro. You honestly inspired me to do these podcasts. You know, when I saw, you're welcome. When I saw that you were talking to these wrestlers, I'm like, I really want to do something like that. And then I came up with the discussion thread for every single week. I was doing that, and it's still growing here and there. And I was like, I really want to do a podcast. And then here I am. You know, 2 or 3 months later.
See, you rolled it out smarter than I did. Because you started, I had my fan base from wrestling and stuff, but, like, I don't know, when I go out there and wrestle, I just kind of smash people. So, like, I don't think too many people see, like, oh, this guy could talk to another person for an hour, you know what I mean? So, you did it smart. You built up the fan base in the core, and it made them all feel like, oh, we're the nerds of wrestling, you know what I mean? You made it, like, a very team atmosphere, so then the podcast became part of the team. It was fucking, you rolled it out in a very good way. I have to say, I was impressed.
Thanks, man. That really does mean a lot, bro. You know, let's talk about wrestling. Have you been keeping up with the WWE or AEW content?
Honestly, I wish I have, other than the quote-unquote totally legal watch-alongs that we do in the Squad. Other than that, no, not at all. Like, those are the first two things I've seen in wrestling probably since the lockdown. And, I mean, I go through phases like this with wrestling, like, and I'll never stop wrestling, but I go through phases where I'm just like, eh, you know what I mean? Like, and then I go through other phases where it's the first thing I put on in the morning and the last thing I turn off at night. So, right now I happen to be in one of those, like, I don't give a damn what's going on in television.
Yeah, honestly, same. It's very hard watching, especially
I can't watch without the fans, man.
Yeah, exactly. I can't, and I said it before, I'm not bashing WWE or AEW. AEW is doing fantastic, honestly, in my opinion, with the fans and with the wrestlers, you know, as the, you know, the crowd. And I know WWE started doing the same thing, but I can't watch it. I think I could watch AEW more than WWE. That's just me.
Well, no, it's honestly the fans. Because, like, the one sport that I said would do well without fans is mixed martial arts. And the few UFCs they've had without fans, I thought have been fantastic. You get to hear the coaches coach. You get to hear every single punch. The commentators, like, it is just such a better product without fans for some reason. And obviously, like, it's fun when the fans are there. But, like, I said from the beginning that was the only one, and basketball could be another one with no fans, because you're going to hear all the shit talk on the court that you're not that you're not able to hear with all the fans, you know? So those are the two that I'm really looking forward to come back with no fans. But, like, every other sport, like, I feel like you need fans for the atmosphere, especially pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, as you're getting trained in wrestling, like, you don't get trained in moves. You get trained how to work the audience or work, you know, work for the audience. And without the audience being there, like, what, like, there's no way I could do it. Like, no way. I'd be like, this stinks. Like, oh my God, dude, wrestling in front of no people, like, you see me wrestle, you know how much I shrug my shoulders to get to people chant bacon?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just be shrugging my shoulders like an asshole for no reason.
You know, when you're saying, you know, some, you know, with some of the stuff that wrestlers go through training, is that how you always went through training, you know, kind of like working the crowd?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and then, you know, walk us through that. You know, what I want to know, what made Big Bacon became Big Bacon, man? Like, what was training like?
Oh, I became Big Bacon way when I was done with training at that point. So I started wrestling when I was 15, actually. And it was just because I was academically ineligible for wrestling that season, because I did not care about school. And I was, so I was ineligible. And then I was like, all right, I never not played a sport in my life. I mean, I was only 15 at the old, 15 years old at the time, and I was still having this, like, existential crisis of, like, oh, no, what am I going to do without sports? I didn't still have school or friends to focus on. I was just like, I need my sports. And I was like, all right, well, schools won't let me play for them. I could do off-season wrestling because, like, that's not associated with a school. But I'm like, what can I do in the meantime? And I was always a fan of pro wrestling my entire life. Like, the only reason I did amateur wrestling in the first place is because I thought it was pro wrestling. Like, when I showed up and there was a mat and not a ring, I was pissed.
That's not the first time I heard that.
Oh, dude, I was so angry. But, yeah, so going from there, I was just like, I gotta do a sport, Antonio Thomas, who is now Thomas Santel, was a member of the Heartthrobs at the time, who were one of my favorite tag teams. They got released, and then he did an interview with, like, one of those, like, spoiler sites.
Yep.
Saying, like, oh, he grew up training in the Springfield, Mass area. Now, at the time, like, even though I'm a young guy still, like, when I was 15, that was fucking 12 years ago already at this point. You know what I mean? So 12 years ago, yeah, the internet was there and the internet worked, but the internet wasn't great. You know what I mean? So you had, the only time I would look up, like, wrestling schools in New England or wrestling schools in Mass, the only one that would pop up was Chaotic. Like, New England, at the time, it was this Chaotic Training Center, but now it's the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. But that was the only one that would ever pop up online. So when I seen that he said he trained in the Springfield, Mass area on the website, I was just like, where the hell is there training in Springfield, Mass? Like, I've been looking for this for, like, my whole life. So I ended up, which now this is crazy, like, looking at it now, what a dumb kid I was. Like, there's no way that any of this should have worked. Like, I should not be in wrestling at all. Like, the way I got in was so crazy. I emailed the guy who ran the site, and this was like, it was lordsofpain.net. I don't know if that still exists as a spoiler site, but it was like one of the bigger ones at the time. Immediately, the guy emails me back, gives me Antonio Thomas's email, and gets me in contact with him. He tells me he trained with this guy, Kevin Landry, so I got in contact with him, started training there, and then once Tom came back from Japan, he started taking over my training just because I felt like he was just next level with everything. Like, Kevin was great at the basics, but, like, with Tom, like, I felt like I got so much better working with him. So once Tom had his own school, I ended up going with him for his school, or with his school for a while. And then we were training, and I started kind of getting out a little bit and started working everywhere. And then, eventually I became Big Bacon. Like, the school ended up shutting down just because it was crazy. Like, we had maybe, like, five kids in that school and all five studs. Like, it was, like, me, Sean Burke, Marshall McNeil, Tunis was coming down once in a while. Like, guys like Billy King were coming down. Like, so it was, like, a small group, but it was a super talented group, you know?
Yeah. During that whole time you were training, man, have you ever thought, like, negative? Like, I don't think this is for me? Or did you, like, you know, always have a positive mindset?
Well, once my grades got back up in school and then I could play, like, football and wrestle again, I took a little break from wrestling, but I kind of always knew I was going to go back to it once I was done with school, because I was a very good wrestler, but I just talked about my grades and everything, and my behavior chart wasn't the best in school.
Your behavior chart.
So, yeah, I didn't know how to phrase it. My permanent record, there we go. I have a very lengthy permanent record, and so it would seem like I would get these letters from colleges to do amateur wrestling, and then they would be like, oh, just send us your transcripts, send us this, send us that. But anytime they would get my grades or, like, my behavior report or whatever it is, I would not get anything back. Like, I would just not hear from these colleges ever again. And I don't blame them. I was a fucking idiot. So, oh, yeah, dude, I wouldn't have took 19-year-old me, like, into their school. Like, I don't want this place to burn down. But, yeah, so once I kind of realized, like, all right, I'm not going to wrestle in college unless I go to a community college, wrestle JUCO, and then try to get my way to Division I. Like, it's just not there for me. So I was like, all right, I'll go back to pro wrestling. I know that. I felt really good. Even though I was young and, like, dumb, I felt like I was good at it right away. And it wasn't, like, good in terms of psychology, I still don't think I'm good. So I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying it good as in, like, the bumps I took good. I did all the moves, like, solid. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That stuff came easy to me, but it was the extra thinking to it that still to this day, like, I'll watch myself from a year ago and I'm like, oh my God, why did I do this, and that? And then a year from now, I'll probably watch something from this year and be like, why did I do this, and that? So when it comes to psychology and stuff, you're always improving, always getting better. But when I was like, I think I graduated 17, so when I look back at it, I was just like, all right, I was doing this 2 years ago. All the basic stuff they had me do, I picked up really quick. The few matches I had weren't spectacular, but, like, nothing sucked. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There was nothing, like, totally messed up to where the fans noticed, you know? So I was like, all right, I can go back to this. I could do this. And then I came back to it probably when I was, like, 18, 19.
Wow. All right. And then, you know, what were some of the first promotions that, you know, you got a chance to work for? Like, your first match? What was your first match like?
My first match was actually for NCW. I had a battle royal before this, but this was like, and that was for EWA. And that's where I mainly worked for my first like 3 or 4 years. Like, cause it's not how it is now where like everyone knows everyone and you branch out. It was like super, it was like gang war, dude, when I first got in. And it was weird cause I was 15 years old and all these 30-year-old guys just hated each other. And like, I didn't know why. I was just like, well, you guys trained me, so I hate those guys with you too, you know? Like, I don't fucking know. So it was like you had the Western Mass crew, and then there was like the top rope guys and the chaotic guys. Like, now it's so much better. And oh yeah, then there was like the Connecticut guys. So like there was all these different like little subgroups, and they didn't really interact much. And now it's a lot better where it's like, oh, it doesn't matter where you started, as long as you're good, you're gonna get a spot. So like that's, and wrestling improved so much in that aspect since I first started. But, yeah, so my first match was for NCW. I wrestled someone who's still wrestling today, the Dirt Dog, Jeremy Leary.
And, oh, shit, all right.
Yeah, my first match, I was a bad guy, which usually doesn't happen too much. But I had a fucking great time with it. Oh, man, I don't remember the exact date, but it was around 2 weeks before my 16th birthday. So I technically had my first match when I was 15.
Wow. Young. Yeah, that's a young age, man. You know, that must have been pretty cool for you. Kind of like living your dream right there.
Well, the weird part was, like, when I was a little kid, wrestling was the coolest, right? Like, Attitude Era, fucking suck it, tease. Like, that's like, I'm not saying that was a good thing, but, like, that's just, it was huge. And yeah. That's what every kid was talking about. And then I got to high school, and, like, wrestling wasn't the cool thing anymore. Like, you would have, like, those kids that were, like, they would watch the pay-per-views and not talk about it. But, like, for the most part, no one was coming in being like, oh, how was Monday Night Raw yesterday? Like, no one cared. So when I was doing the pro wrestling, like, the only people I really told were, like, my best friends, because I was just like, yeah, everyone else probably think I'm a fucking geek if I'm doing this stuff. And then, too, I couldn't let my coaches know because I wanted to bring my grades up for sports. And if they found out I was getting paid getting wrestling, I would be ineligible for sports. So,
oh, shit.
They couldn't find out I was getting paid. So I was just like, do you get paid for this? I was like, absolutely not. I mean, granted, I was only getting like, you know, 20 bucks, yeah. 10 bucks. But like, still, nope, I was not getting anything.
You know, when you were saying that wrestling wasn't really cool in high school, like, a lot of people say the same thing. And I thought I was the only person who kind of went through that phase. But then I'm, like, thinking about it, and I'm hearing stories. I'm like, huh, I guess I wasn't the only guy who went through that. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah, dude. And, like, I wish I went to high school during the Attitude Era. Like, I'm 27. So the Attitude Era, even for me, which it sounds crazy, but, like, I didn't get to see too much of it. Like, really, when I started watching wrestling, it was, like, 99, 2000. And, like, in 99, I probably couldn't tell you too many moments, you know, when I was a little kid. It was just like, oh, wrestling's on, I'll watch this. But it wasn't like, wrestling's on, 9 o'clock every Monday, gotta watch it. You know, it was yep. Just like, I'd be flicking through my channel, be like, oh, wrestling, I like this. But I really didn't get, like, super into it until I was, like, 10, 12 years old, you know what I mean?
Yeah, same here, bro. I started watching around, you know, 06, a little bit after WrestleMania 22. And that's when I got, like, really hooked. Then, you know, I went through, like I said, I went through that phase in high school where I stopped watching for a few years. Then I picked right back up at it, and then I haven't looked back since. And I never, I really do wish I didn't stop watching it, you know, because I missed a lot of good moments.
Yeah, dude, so I think the whole entire world knows how big of a fan I am of Brock Lesnar. And I feel like the only reason people hate Brock Lesnar is because he signed the greatest contract in the history of contracts. That's not his fault. Someone wants to pay you millions and millions of dollars to show up to work 5 times a year, tell me you wouldn't sign that thing on the heartbeat.
No, I'll sign it. Okay.
Exactly. Anybody would, right? So I miss the initial Brock Lesnar era. Like, when I because everyone has those eras where they stop watching. I stopped watching, like, right after Brock came in, because I was like, I liked him when he came in. And then I remember I ended up coming back to, like, watching wrestling around WrestleMania 21, and he was already gone. And I'm like, oh, well, there goes that guy. So, like, I didn't even watch that whole, like, Brock Lesnar. Sorry. If you guys couldn't tell, I am on a lot of pain medication to get my teeth not numbed or not hurting. But yeah, so I miss that whole like Brock Lesnar era where it was Brock in the trunks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't watching then. So when I ended up watching, like when he came back, because I was a huge fan of mixed martial arts, and I always like people who buck the system. And he's just like, he was one of those, they're like, hey, listen, we want you so bad, we will buy you a private jet so you could fly around and still make all the towns and you don't have to deal with travel. And he was still like, nah, son, I don't want to travel that much. Like, no one tells the system, go F themselves, and Brock Lesnar is the king of it. So I always, like, respected that about him. So when he came back, I was like, oh, I want to watch his older stuff. Like, I want to watch, like, young Brock. And, oh, my God, why did I miss the Brock Lesnar era? We were talking about, you know, we wish we didn't stop watching. Oh, if I watched during that time, imagine how much bigger of a Brock Lesnar fan I'd be right now.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a way for a lot of people, for a lot of wrestlers, you know, not just Brock Lesnar. Like, you know, for too many wrestlers to name off the top of my head, but, you know, they look back and go, damn, like, I wish I was watching, like, little kids nowadays, you know, like, 12-year-olds who don't know how Edge was back in 06.
Yeah.
You know, like that. I tell the, you know, these kids at work, like, oh, you should have seen Edge back in 06, man. He was savage. Like, he was a dick. And they go,
dude,
really?
You know what's funny, too? Even though he's an older wrestler, because I also work in education, so kids still love The Rock. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I didn't even mean to do that. But it doesn't matter what era they're from. Every kid's like, when they find out I'm a wrestler or whatever, the first two questions are, do you know The Rock? No. Do you know John Cena?
No.
And I'm like, how many Rock and John Cena matches have you guys watched? You're fucking six. Like, they haven't been around in years. Like, what are you talking about?
They don't even know about their matches at, you know, 28 or 29, so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you weren't even around for The Rock's second run. Like, what are you talking about?
Exactly, man. Oh, man. You know, we got a lot.
I'm just like, yeah, cool.
100%. You know, we have a lot of questions from our fellow nerds, you know, a few from Twitter, quite a few on Facebook, and so let's jump right to it. We have a question from fellow nerd Ben, and he wants to know, what has been your favorite match that you had?
I mean, that's a complicated one. Like, my favorite answer is always my next one, because I'm not a big, like, dweller of the past, just because I'm always, like, I always want to get better, and like I told you earlier, like, every match that I watch back years later, I end up hating. Like, I get a lot of love for the first one with me and Riddle, and I could watch that now, and, like, I watch it now, and I'm like, this match is not, like, I wish I did this there, I wish I did that there, that could have been that better there. Oh, man, I look tired right there, you know what I mean? Like, certain things, like, will bother me. I think the only match that I've ever had that's as close to perfect would be myself and Billy King, Pioneer Valley Pro, and this is, like, I might be bacon at this point. This might be, like, right after, like, this is very early in the bacon stages or right before the bacon stages, and just everything we talked about happened exactly the way we talked about it. And it was, like, the long story, too. Like, I had the championship there for, like, 2 or 3 years, and I was, like, the evil guy for that long, and, like, I kept putting down challengers, and here comes Billy King, the everyman, and we just had a perfect match, and Billy was just such a good wrestler, someone I always looked up to, and for him to, like, come to the back and be like, that was the best match I ever had, I was
wow.
Like, holy shit, like, because I thought so much of him, so for him to say, like, I gave him his best match, I was just like, that was awesome, and then, like, dude, kids, because he won the match, spoiler alerts, but he won the match, and afterwards, since he was a good guy, there was kids in the crowd that were, like, hugging each other, like, crying, and, like, happiness, like, it was just, like, I'm literally getting goosebumps, it's like, the only match I could say is the closest thing to perfect I've had.
Dude, you were talking, and that's fantastic. You were talking about your match with Riddle at, you know, WrestleFest 2018. And, dude, amazing match, by the way. Like, you know, 2 years later, I saw, you know, I watched that match back not too long ago. I love that match. Best match on the card. 100%.
Oh, thank you.
No problem,
well, see,
bro.
Like, again, but I'm one of those where, like, I'll watch it and I know it could have been better. So, like, it drives me nuts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I gotta remember sometimes too. I'm like, yeah, us the fans love the match, but then the wrestlers go, yeah, you know, I did all right, you know.
It's like, afterwards, like, I knew it was a good match, like, because I do have an ego on me, and, like, I don't want to say an ego in the sense of, like, I'm going to walk around saying I'm the best, but, like, if you really want to be good at anything, you have to have some confidence in it. So, like, after a bad match, you know it's a bad match, and after a good match, you know it's a good match. And after that match, I was like, all right, that was a good match. Like, I knew it was a good match, but, like I said, watching it now, where I'm, like, with hindsight being 2020, I could be like, oh, man, like, this right here could have been that much better, and that could have been better, but, like, oh, I fucked this up. Like, so it's just, like, I think I'm a psychopath and a perfectionist. And I think
it's all good, man.
I'm too hard on myself sometimes, but, again, like, that's how I feel you get the best improvement, is not when others are hard on you, but when you're hard on yourself.
Yeah, and I love that mindset, bro. You know, we're talking about WrestleFest, which is an NEW promotion. When did you first, you know, debut for Northeast Wrestling?
It was, I know it was a December show. I want to say 2016, maybe.
Yeah, to be 20, because I remember I first saw you wrestle at that following WrestleFest in April or March.
Yeah. So yeah. It was definitely. Sorry, my chair keeps creaking. I gotta get a new one.
It's all good.
So I got. It was me versus Anthony Green, and what. I know it was a Christmas theme event, but I can't remember the exact name of it.
Holiday Havoc?
It might have been Christmas in Tavenville.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. overall, I mean, that was a thing that it took me forever to get into Northeast Wrestling. Forever. Like, again, I was doing this when I was 15 years old, man. Like, I'm still young, but in terms of miles, I'm no spring chicken. Like, I've been doing this for, you know, a grip. So getting to Northeast Wrestling was, like, kind of a big goal of mine. And TK O'Ryan, me and him would tag at Top Rope. And we kind of became, like, best friends, like, right off the bat. Especially, like, in wrestling, we were, because it's weird. And I know this is the nerds of wrestling, so I apologize.
It's all good, everybody, man.
But I feel like in a lot of wrestling locker rooms, you're going to get guys that just, like, only grew up watching wrestling or only grew up with, like, comic books and stuff like that. And, like, I love comic books. I love wrestling, clearly. Like, I've been doing it since I'm 15. So I love that stuff. But my main thing is sports, and it'll always be sports. You're nerds of wrestling. I'm a nerd of sports. Like, I could, like, listen to people talk about basketball for hours. Not even watch people play it. I could listen to people talk about it. Like, it's an obsession at this point, sports. So, when me and TK got around each other, he has a Division I college baseball background, and, like, I was playing football and wrestling and basketball my entire life. And then, like, we would, one time I remember we were shooting around on a hoop, and he was just like, oh my God, he's like, you're the only wrestler with a jump shot. And I'm like, you're the only wrestler with a jump shot. So, like, we became friends just based off of that. And, he was in Northeast Wrestling at the time, and he kept pitching for me over and over and over again. And then eventually, either they got sick of hearing him pitch me over and over, or they were just like, all right, let's just shut him up and give his friend a shot. And then, you know, he helped me get the ball, and then I ran with it. So,
and 4 years later, almost 4 years later, look where you are, bro.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Like, the fact that I feel like I came in and there wasn't plans for me because I was the guy that begged to get in there. Like, and that's another thing too. I had to put my ego aside with when it came to seeking out extra bookings, because for the longest time I was like, I never want to ask to go somewhere. I want to be asked to be there, because then that shows that place wants you there. But then the more I wrestle, the more I realize that shit's just not going to happen. Like, that does not exist. So I was just like, all right, I gotta put all my chips in and, like, really just bet on myself. So being there, and like I said, I don't think there was a lot of plans for me at first. And then it was just like, oh, well, he had a good match with this guy. Let's see him with this guy. Oh, fucking, he had a good match with that guy. Well, let's try him with this guy. Oh, damn, he had a good match with that guy too. Oh, shit. Well, our guys got signed. It looks like we need a champion.
Yeah, and it's crazy, you know, like, X amount of months later, after you debuted at NEW, you were the opening match at WrestleFest in a triple threat. I forgot. I know it was you versus Flip Gordon, and I forgot who else it was.
The Horror King, Vincent.
You are correct. And I felt like I should... Me too.
I have really bad CTE.
I hope that's that was, Vinny. But yeah, dude, like, it's crazy to see, you know, you started off at 2016 there, and... to where you are now, so the big name you are in Northeast Wrestling.
Ah, no, definitely.
Which is actually a question we have from a fellow nerd. His name is Billy. He wants to know, what was what was your reaction like when you came through that curtain at Career vs. Crown and got that massive pop after your return?
Oh, well, so, even that, and thank you, man, by the way, for all those kind words. I will never feel like I am a big star anywhere, because it's just like, again, I want to get better at wrestling. Like, I don't give a damn about anything else. I don't care if I make billions of dollars someday. I don't care if I don't have a pot to piss in. As long as I get better at wrestling, like, that's really what it's about. It's not about the stupid politics or anything like that. It's just about getting better at your craft. So I thank you for those kind words. But yeah, so honestly, I don't even remember the pop, just because right before I was getting into an argument on whether or not I should wear my entrance jacket to the ring, so I got a new entrance jacket. So it's literally like the opening of my new theme is playing, and like no one really knows who it is, and so it's like bam, wham, 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 and the whole time that's going on, I'm just like, should I wear the jacket or not? Am I gonna wear the jacket? I don't know if I should wear the jacket. I should want to go out there and kill him. I'm pumped up. You know, I just came back. What should I do? You know what? I'm not gonna wear the jacket. I should wear the jacket. I spent a lot of money on this jacket. You know what? No jacket. I'm kicking some ass. So I didn't even have a chance to be like, oh man, people are happy that I'm back, because in my head, I'm just like, I'm walking down the ramp and I'm like, oh shit, I should have worn the jacket.
And I'm gonna tell you, dude, like, on the way to that show, me and my buddy Ramon, we were talking about, like, who do you think BRG's open challenge is gonna be? I'm like, I have no idea. And he was like, what do you think B. Bacon's gonna return? I'm like, Spring Slam, probably, I don't know. And literally, dude, we're like around the corner from the, you know, Bethany Town Hall, and you know, that, you know, go, you know, a little bit, like, hour later, Big Bacon opening match, and him and I were just going absolute bonkers. Like, we were like, holy shit, no fucking way. And awesome match, awesome moment. You know, it must have been kind of like, you know, I know you don't remember the pop very much, but it must have felt kind of, you know, good to be back in that ring.
Oh, afterwards, I was almost in tears. Like, when I watched it back, like, I was almost crying. Because, like, you definitely worry about, like, if people are going to remember you or care about you. And like I said, it's not about that, but, like, when moments like that, like, the ACL injury was, like, a big obstacle in my way. So, like, when the doctors told me that I'm going to be out for 6 months to a year, I took that as, like, oh, I'm coming back before 6 months. Just as, like, for some reason, like, I was mad at the doctor for giving me a correct diagnosis. I'm like, oh, I'm coming back before 6 months and shoving it in your face. Like, he was just doing his job. Like, you know, he was being a bad guy. But I'm just a psycho competitor. And, like, the second I heard 6 months, I was like, oh, I'm coming back for Over the Top, which was
January.
I got the surgery, like, 2 days before my birthday. My birthday is August 28th, so I got it August 26th. So, like, August to January is, what, end of August, so pretty much September, January is not that much time.
Yeah.
But in my head, I was like, oh, I'm going to do it for Over the Top. But at that time, I was like, I don't feel good landing yet. Like, I was – jumping was fine. I was getting better at doing everything else. I didn't feel great on the landing. So I was like, well, if I'm not winning Over the Top, I am not getting eliminated, because my knee might explode again, and I don't want that at all. So I was like, all right, you know what? I'll wait to the next one. There was a lot of different ideas thrown out for my comeback, and I just looked at the BRG Open Challenge, and I thought, like, that would be the most surprising.
Yes.
Like, there's so many other ways. Like, if I ran from the commentary table and then, like, helped someone out, like, it kind of makes sense that I would fight the next show. Or, like, if people started to see me in the ring, they would start to think, like, oh, he's closer to coming back. But I wanted to be like, this guy was in a wheelchair 3 weeks ago, and now he's just ready to go again.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how I rehabbed it. I was like, the second they told me I could run, it went from, like, pussyfooting around and just recovering to, like, okay, I'm coming back as fast as possible. And I think running, they give you the clearance at like 4 months, maybe. So once I hit 4 months, I was just like, okay, I'm going to kill it and I'm going to come back. And then a month and a half later, I was back in the ring.
And here you are now. And we actually have a pretty good question from a nerd on Twitter. He wants to know, how did you stay motivated through that whole time you were injured, and how did you manage to stay in shape? And that is from Anthony.
So same with quarantine. At first, I did not stay in shape. At first, I was like, because again, I've been doing this since I was 15, and when I wasn't doing this, I was in amateur wrestling, and like all that is so. Because wrestling, it's not about, or pro wrestling, it's not about your weight, but it's about how your appearance is. And in amateur wrestling, it's about your weight. So, like, my entire life, dude, it's just been like, okay, I got to eat right. I got to work out. I got to do this. So, anytime I get a chance just to be a fat slob, I dive in head first. And the beginning of my surgery, I was like, all right, well, I'm not coming back anytime soon. I was like, at the earliest, 5.5 months, because in my head that was always my number. I was like, 5 months was my number, so I was like, I'm not coming back till 5 months, so I could eat for the first month and kind of then just, you know, diet and everything after that. So at first I did not stay disciplined, I did not stay in shape, and then once I kind of realized, like, okay, this is a lot closer than I'm imagining, because again, I kept saying over the top, over the top, over the top. And then over the top start approaching, and I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely not ready. I'm still too fat. My knee, I don't feel good landing. I'm like, all right, give me a little bit more. So it was just like, once I kind of seen the end in sight, that motivated me a lot. But other than that, dude, like, not much. I was just like, all right, let me get fat and do a podcast and talk to some friends. Like,
there you go. It's actually a funny question, too. Someone wants to know if you like the Baconator from Wendy's, and that's from James.
Oh, of course.
Come on, James, of course.
No vegetables.
No vegetables, yeah, no vegetables. Come on.
Vegetables are gross. And that's a real thing, too. One time I was at TK's and we got Chinese food, and I ordered General Chicken, of course, and there's broccoli in it. And I didn't even mean to say it like this, but I just go, ew, broccoli. And for some reason, he thought it was the funniest thing ever. He goes, are you a child? And I was just like, what? Broccoli's gross, dude.
Dude, same. I hate broccoli.
But it's like, I don't know why. He thought it was so funny that I was just like, ew, broccoli.
Oh, dude, I love that. I love that, man. That's awesome. You know, now that you're wrestling, man, and, you know, what are your goals after this whole thing is over? You're not wrestling now. But, you know, now that you're back, you know, you're back in the ring. Not for long, you know, because this whole fucking quarantine. But after this whole quarantine is over, man, what are your goals? Like, what do you want? What do you really want to do?
For the longest time, I wanted a contract, and then, like, the one time a contract was put in front of me, I said no to it. So I really don't know what I want. It's just like, I want to get great at this. Like, I feel like no matter what, I'm going to be involved in pro wrestling for the rest of my life. Even like if I'm an 80-year-old man, I feel like I'll be helping kids putting together matches. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a lifer. So to me, it's not about, like, obviously, like, that was my dream as a little kid, but now that I'm in it, dude, like, I just want to be great at this, man. I love this. I love the art of it, you know. So all I want to do is just be as best as possible. I just want to be respected by my peers and by the people. I want everyone to know I'm not a piece of shit.
I know you're definitely excited to get back in the ring. I know we're all excited as us Northeast Wrestling fans to go to a show. You know, I can't wait. But other than that, are you looking forward to football this year?
Oh my God, yes. Last year, my Tennessee Titans made it all the way to the AFC Championship, the lowly, plucky underdog Tennessee Titans. And I'm excited. I'm excited for this year. It's very rare to go into a season excited as a Titan fan, but this is one of those years.
Yeah, and that's actually a question from Jared, fellow nerd on Facebook. He wants to know, what is your expectations for the Titans this year, and why did they sign Tannehill, if I said his name correctly?
Oh, Ryan Tannehill, yes, you did. So, this is one thing that a lot of people do not know about the Ryan Tannehill. And this is what I mean about nerd for sports. Like, you just started talking about sports, I perked up. I know contract numbers.
Yeah, dude, I love baseball, so I love it when people talk about, you know, baseball.
So, they signed Ryan Tannehill for 4 years, $129 million, which on paper sounds like a lot of cheddar. All right. And why are you giving a lot of cheddar to a guy who was never a franchise quarterback in his career? I understand the slack. But what people don't understand is only two of those 4 years are guaranteed. So if he does okay for 2 years, they don't have to pay him like a top quarterback anymore because they could just cut him that third year and then go with a young guy. So I feel like they structured that contract beautifully. And they set him up for the long haul because obviously, running backs do not have long careers in the NFL because it's like the most punishing position. You're getting hit by the biggest, strongest guys all the time. So Derrick Henry, who's their running back, is their star player. So he's only going to be a star for maybe, you know, next 4 years tops because running backs just don't have long shelf lives. Even though I want Derrick Henry to, and I hope he's the greatest running back of all time and he's around for the next 30 years and my children watch him run the ball. But realistically, running backs usually only last like 3 years, and he's kind of, even though there's only 2 years he really had as like the running back, he has a lot of miles on him already. So you got to think maybe he has 3-4 years max at being that top level. So we got Tannehill for two of those years, and you could get rid of him, cut bait with him if he's not performing up to stuff. So I think overall, I'm happy they signed Tannehill this year. I think they're going to go 11-5. They're going to win the AFC South, get into the playoffs, unfortunately run into the juggernaut that is the Kansas City Chiefs and or the Baltimore Ravens. Even though last year they beat the Ravens, I do think that Titans were just hot in the Ravens just, they had a shitty game.
Other than the Titans in football, do you like any other sports? Yeah, I know you're a big basketball fan, right?
The Boston Celtics. I would trust my unborn children with the Boston Celtics. They're a big one. And honestly, like, I'm not a huge baseball guy. I used to be. And then it was the only sport that I didn't play my entire life. Like, I played it for like 3 years. I was like, all right, I'm done with baseball. Where like every other sport I started and just, I still play to this day. But basketball, huge Celtic fan. Baseball, I would be a Red Sox fan if I had to pick a fandom because,
attaboy,
it's a Sox, bro.
It's a Sox.
Go against the Sox.
Exactly. You know, I know
when
you're,
you come down to Boston,
man, I miss baseball. I really can't, you know, I don't think there's going to be a season this year, honestly, because
no, and it's more so because of the divide between the owners and the players.
Yeah, and I don't understand, like, why it was going on. But honestly, I was talking to someone, I'm like, there's, on my other podcast, there's no point to have a season this year if we don't have an all-star break. So it's, you know, it's nothing we can't do now, you know?
So the proposed thing is that they want to give them, I believe it was like 82 games or maybe even less. But like they wanted to reduce their salaries by like more than half. And players are like, no, like you want me to risk my health? And just because you're losing money, like doesn't matter. Like it's not my job. So
yeah,
it's going to be one of those things you're going to have to compromise. Players are going to have to take a little bit less if they want there to be a season this year. But if players are willing to sit the year out, then they don't have to take less. They could just sit at home and get paid. But the owners are going to lose so much money by having no attendance revenue, anything like that. So I understand, yeah, you signed the contract. You should honor the contract. It goes both ways. In terms of owners, they signed that they were going to pay them that much. But I think everyone got to realize what kind of time we're in. Maybe they could backload it. Maybe they could do a thing where, like, all right, at the end of your contract, you're going to get a bonus, like a send-off fee or whatever it is, and you'll get that money that you missed during this time. Like, there got to be a way to fix it other than just players and owners being like, nope, not doing it.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll figure something out. Now, how about basketball? Is there supposed to be a basketball season this year?
Yeah, they're going 20-game playoffs in Disney. And I think there's going to be basketball on, like, every day, all day.
That's pretty cool.
Until the playoffs over. And I am so excited to bet all my money on it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, when does that start?
They haven't have a start date yet. It's not official yet, but that's just, like, what the main proposal is right now. But yeah, so that's what it looks like it's going to be. And the reason they say Disney is because they're going to use all those hotels there to just house all the basketball players.
Yeah, there
so
you know.
I think that's a great, great idea, great facility to use it in. But I'm a big fight fan, so it's not like you could pick a favorite team, but like I have a group of favorite fighters. And yeah, I mean, boxing. I mean, I enjoy boxing, but I'm not as hardcore into boxing like I used to be. But yeah, I would say that basketball, football, and fighting would be my three major ones.
A pretty solid some sports right there, man. Dude, this has been so much fun talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on today, bro.
Dude, thank you. I think my mouth is bleeding, so
I'm so sorry, dude.
No,
I really
tell you at all. I don't shut up.
No, but no, seriously, I really do hope you feel better, bro. Thank you for, you know, like I said, you know, coming on today, man. It was a lot of fun. I know we've been, you know, talking for a while to have you on, and I'm finally glad we were able to make this happen, bro.
Hey, listen, man. You stepped up and you said, I'm going to be a member of the Sizzle Squad. So you know what I did? I stepped up and I said, I'm going to be on the Nerds of Wrestling podcast. When other people step up, it motivates me to step up. And that's what happened, Justin.
I love that, bro. Thank you so much, man. You know, before we sign off, drop some plugs. Where can the Nerds of Wrestling find Mr. Big Bacon, Brad Hollister?
So all my social media should just be at Big Bacon Brad. But like I've been plugging... like I plugged earlier and at the end of this podcast, the Sizzle Squad is our Patreon group for the What's Sizzling podcast, but it's not just my podcast, because that goes out to Spotify for free for everyone anyways, or iTunes, whatever you got. So what the Patreon group is, like I said, we do pay-per-view watch-alongs, we do match reviews, I'll put up some unreleased matches that never been seen before. And it's just like I said, we kind of built our own little community. It's not the Nerds of Wrestling yet, but it's getting there.
There you go. I love it. And I'm pretty sure that Patreon and your group will grow in due time, bro. It's gonna for sure. But yeah, man, like I said, thank you so much again, man. Stay safe. I definitely hope to see you sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. Same to you, man. I'm gonna put some gauze in my mouth.
All right, man. Have a great night and, you know, get well.
You too, bud. Take it easy.
Thanks, buddy. And that concludes this episode on the Nerds of Wrestling podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for more future episodes. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio. Peace out, nerds.